This is Vandana Shiva, and you're listening to the Enviro Show. Remember, listen to your mother.
Greetings, Earthlings. It's a Good Earth Scouts Enviro Show. I am one of your co-hosts, Dio, and I am not in studio with...
I'm Glenn Ayers.
Yes, and Glenn, happy Earth Week. Of course, back in the day, both Girl and Boy Scouts had the motto, be prepared. But today, the Girl Scouts have apparently replaced that motto with the Girl Scout Law, which includes... quote, use resources wisely, close quote. Quote, make the world a better place, close quote. So our guests on the show this week have done that and way more. They saved a forest with mature and old growth trees. Sounds like they were more than prepared, yeah? Anyway, us elders would love to do that here in Massachusetts, but our time is running short. Can you hear us, Mass DCR? Governor Healy, Mass EEA? No? Well, you better think twice. The scouts are watching. Oh, how about all those hashtag climate goals, huh? Anyway, more on that later. As always, we will bring you along to meet this week's Fool on the Hill and those whose brains were small, as well as our constant reminder that it's the climate crisis, stupid. But first, it's time for... Revenge of the Critters, When Elephants Tire of Tourists. Hey, go to the blog. There's a video component to this. That's EnviroShow, without the W, .blogspot.com. Frightened tourists can be seen ducking behind seats during a tense standoff between a bull elephant and a safari truck in Palanisberg National Park in South Africa. Videos of Monday's incident show a bull elephant lifting the 22-seat truck up several times with his trunk before letting it drop. The driver can be heard calling for the elephant, go away, and slapping his hand against the side of the truck to scare the animal. Hendry Blom, a bystander who caught the incident on camera, told ABC News, we were definitely scared, especially for the people in the truck, because we thought they might die. Another video from inside the truck shows frightened tourists cowering on the floor of the vehicle. One woman can be heard praying as the elephant approaches. Pancho Mogodira, field operations manager at Manqui Game Trackers, the tour company involved in the incident, told ABC, the guide and guests were in animal hide when the bull elephant approached. Quote, hides provide you with rare opportunity to unobtrusively view the wildlife and birds at close quarters, close quote. According to the Palanisberg National Park, Mogodira said that some of the tourists, quote, came too close to the elephant to take pictures and started getting aggressive, close quote. Of course, you don't see that in the video. In the video, they're all hiding in the truck, cowering from the bull elephant. Something to see.
Yeah, pretty amazing. The elephant picked up the front of the truck. I mean, a few feet off of the ground each time. Like yeah, the entire front truck, the wheels were two or three or I don't know how high. It easily could have tipped the bus over. Very impressive.
Exciting, unless you happen to be in the bus. How about a fool on a hill?
And nobody seems to like him, the fool on the hill.
This week's Fool on the Hill is MAGA Republican Tim Walberg, who became the latest Republican lawmaker to openly call for the genocide of Palestinian people in Gaza, saying at a town hall that instead of sending humanitarian aid to starving civilians there, the U.S. should, quote, get it over quick, close quote, by dropping a nuclear bomb on the besieged enclave Oh, God, that's some fool, Glenn. He's worse than a fool, but a fool nonetheless.
Yeah, really despicable person. Yeah.
And he's got a lot of company in the MAGA crowd, for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, as what did Hillary call them all? Deplorables.
Deplorables, yeah. That's putting it lightly, I think. Well, how about the climate crisis? Well, we know Tim Walberg doesn't give a damn, but we'll still keep yelling, "It's the climate crisis, stupid!" Sad to say, big oil and gas don't give a damn either. As this story states, quote, "The science is clear. No new oil and gas fields, or the planet gets pushed past what it can handle," close quote, said one analyst. Goes on to point out, a new report published Wednesday by Global Energy Monitor suggests that the U.S. in particular has abandoned any plans to adhere to warnings from climate scientists and the International Energy Agency, close quote. Of course, you can go to the blog and click on the links for that. And this from the New York Times, quote, despite major progress in protecting vast tracts of rainforest, the world failed again last year to significantly slow the pace of global forest destruction, according to a report issued on Thursday. Record wildfires in Canada and expanding agricultural elsewhere offset big gains in forest protection in Brazil and Colombia, the report found. The annual survey by the World Resources Institute, a research organization, found that the world lost 9.1 million acres of primary tropical forest in 2023. Close quote. All right, how about their brains were small?
Well, wait a minute. What about this survey of that shows that we lost 9.1 million acres of primary tropical forest? That's a lot of acres to lose. Where did it go? I mean, how do you lose something like that? Is it missing? Is it hiding somewhere?
It's been
What's the
replaced,
deal?
and it's been replaced by, I don't know, avocado forest, palm oil.
Oh, you mean I'd misunderstood the word missing or lost? You know, like you lose your keys, right? And then you find them. I was thinking maybe find these 9.1 million acres. They were just lost. But you're talking about they were permanently destroyed and replaced by something
Nice.
other than forests, right?
A crap we don't really need. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Oh, and of course, there's always land for cows, like for instance, to make hamburgers. Yeah, there's that.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it too. Okay, let's move on. How about their brains were small?
They were big, dumb, and slow.
They couldn't go with the flow.
Their brains were small and they died.
Well, we have so many options for their brains were small and they died segment, but there are so many humans out there who seem thoughtless, even though they keep lumbering around, seemingly alive. Take these guys, for example. A report released by Carbon Majors says that 57 companies were responsible for 80% of the world's CO2 emissions from fossil fuel and cement production between 2016 to 2022. Close quote. So, guess who's on top? Well, in terms of the investor-owned companies, Chevron, ExxonMobil, and BP contributed the most to CO2 emissions. ExxonMobil alone was responsible for 3.6 gigatons of CO2 emissions over a 7-year period. Close quote. No, Glenn, their brains were small. They haven't died yet.
Yeah, that's 3.6 gigatons. I mean, that's a lot of work. You got to really work to get that many gigatons of carbon dioxide emissions over 7 years. They've been busy.
Yeah, truly. Oh, let's see. Who else has been busy? Maybe in the White House.
Wanted man in Sacramento, wanted man in Old Cheyenne. Wherever you may look tonight, you may see this wanted man.
Okay, another week, another edition of A Biden with Biden. And the Prez has finally gotten the message that Bibi and IDF need to clean up their act. In the Prez's call to Netanyahu last week, quote, he made clear that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps, close quote, according to Axios. Go to the blog, click on the link for that. Sadly, it took outrage over the deadly attack on international aid workers and the ongoing starvation of Palestinians to initiate the call, but at least it finally came. On a more positive note, there's his ongoing support for the women's right to choose and another shot at student debt relief. Go to the blog, click on the link for that. And this AP report last week, quote, the Biden administration on Thursday restored rules to protect imperiled plants and animals that had been rolled back under the former president. Among the changes announced, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will reinstate a decades-old regulation that mandates blanket protections for species newly classified as threatened. Which brings us to this. There is more to do. Click on the link for that. And finally, another good move by the Biden's EPA. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency just finalized updated regulations for light-duty and heavy-duty vehicles, enacting some of the most consequential U.S. climate regulations. These new rules will cut global warming emissions in all new vehicles sold from the model year 2027 through 2032, in sizes ranging from a hatchback to a tractor trailer. Wait, why are we waiting 3 years? But at least it's doing it. What do you say, Glenn?
Yeah, I mean, they got to give them a little lead time, right, to plan ahead for reducing those emissions. I can see that it takes a little while to implement something like that. I think they need some lead time, and then those are in place for at least 5 years. And during that time period, they can propose even more stringent standards. So, yeah, good.
One would hope, yes, unless that other guy gets in office.
Oh, then all bets are off.
All
right?
Bets are off then.
It's, yeah, you know, we're talking about the Earth being charred to basically a cinder floating in space.
All right, on to the Enviro Show, Echo Chamber, where we echo conservation.org's piece of good news. A recent deep sea expedition off the coast of Chile and Peru is revealing the secrets of a vast underwater mountain system and making the strongest case yet for greater protections there. Using underwater robots capable of descending more than 4,500 meters, that's a lot of feet. That's 14,760 feet, to be exact. Researchers say they may have discovered more than 100 never-seen-before species living in the Salice Gomez and Nazca Ridges, which stretch across the southeastern Pacific. That's a lot of space. And this, all you Elder Anti-Nuke folks and others may recall the solar rollers here in Western Mass. They biked their way around many demos back in the day in the effort to rid us of the nuclear menace over the years. And now they're back. This time, they rally on the Greenfield Common on Saturday, April 20th, starting at 9 a.m., before pedaling off along the Connecticut River in defense of aquatic critters under assault by First Light's Shadowmatic Fish Blender in Northfield. You can join them on bike or at any of the three rallies. Go to the blog, click on the link for the schedule on that one, as well as all the other Earth Weekend activities. Yep, they're in the bus stop billboard. All right. How about we move on to quote of the week? Okay, it's time for the environmental quote of the week. Now, and this one takes us to our inspiring guest interview, and it's short and sweet. Quote, "You are never too young to lead, nor too old to act," close quote. And that was from Kofi Annan, the UN former director or whatever he was. So what do you think, Len? Should we talk to our guest?
Yeah, yeah. This is an amazing interview. And I probably have said that in the past, but this, I think, is one of my all-time favorites over the last, whatever, almost 20 years.
Right.
That this is beyond inspiring. And I just can't believe that these young women accomplished what they did and were successful in protecting this 600 plus acre forest in Maryland. It just shows you what a few people who are determined can accomplish if they're not afraid to stand up to their elders and say, hey, you need to walk your talk. And that's what really inspires me, is that the young people have so much power. And these young women, they realized their power. They embraced it. And it's an amazing story. So give this a listen and share the story with your friends, because this really is an inspiration for activists and, you know, for anybody, because these youth, they were not activists when they started this campaign, this effort, but they are now. And That's really the inspiration that we all need, especially in light of the climate emergency. So yeah, we'll be back on the other side to reinvigorate our enthusiasm for taking action.
This is definitely one of the Enviro Show's greatest hits.
All right. Today on the Enviro Show, we are joined by some, I'm just going to say, amazing young people who are part of a Girl Scout troop that worked to save a forest in their area. And I don't want to tell your story. I want you to have this opportunity to tell how this all happened and what motivated you to work to save this area and how it happened, and just tell your story. So I'll start by introducing Nethra, who has kind of set up this interview. And Nethra, if you would introduce yourself and maybe your friends that you worked with, and then you can each take turns or however you want to do it, and tell the story of this forested area, where it is, and how you became inspired to work to save this area. And give us your story.
Okay. So my name is Nethra. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm a high schooler in Northern Virginia. And me and my friends, Sienna and Mariah, who are also here, we're all in the same Girl Scout troop. If you guys want to introduce yourself.
I'm Sienna.
I'm Mariah.
I think this all started about 2 years ago. So we went on a troop camping trip in Maryland in a campsite called Camp Aquasco. And we had a great time there. We went hiking, canoeing, kayaking, all of that. And then later that summer, I saw a petition on the Sierra Club website saying that an area forest in Prince George County, Maryland, where we had gone camping, was going to be sold by Girl Scouts to developers. And I looked into it a little bit more, and I realized that that forest was literally right next to where we had been camping. We might have even been hiking in that forest. And so that kind of struck me. That was one of the main motivations for me, was that the next time I visit that area, if I ever go back, the forest might not be there if they had sold it to developers. So I told Sienna about this, and we decided we were going to draft an email to Girl Scouts. And we started emailing the Girl Scout CEO, the property manager, the financial manager. We emailed all of them. And Sienna, do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I mean, Maythra really did like all of this. She just like kept emailing, and some of the times it was really tough because some of the people weren't involved in Girl Scouts anymore, and we were like, why are you responding to the emails? But Maythra just kept going and going, and it worked. Just a lot of persistence.
Yeah, so we got a lot of form responses back from the Girl Scout leadership saying, like, this sale will help further Girl Scouts. So, just a little bit of background about the sale. What was happening was this area of forest, it's around 600 acres of forest. It's called Marlton Forest. It's in Prince George County, Maryland. In 2019, a developer organization donated it to Girl Scouts. Now, since Girl Scouts has a camping area right next to that forest where we had gone camping, they weren't going to turn it into a camping area. They were going to sell it to developers to compensate for money that they had lost during COVID. This was their reasoning. And they actually had a bid in 2019, I believe, and they got two main offers, one from the developers and one from the Maryland Park and Planning Commission. And the developer's offer was higher, so they had gone with that. And then a few years later, when the sale started like going through, that's when the Sierra Club petition came around, and that's when we saw it. So this was kind of the timeline of the sale up till that point, up until when we had seen it. So we weren't even sure if the sale had already gone through, if there was anything we could really do, but we just thought, okay, we have to try because there is a lot of Girl Scout like values and badges and everything around the environment. They have a tree pledge. One of the main sayings that they use is leave no trace. Sienna, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, just from when we were little, they were always leave the place better than you found it. And when we heard about this, we were like, wow, that's really kind of hypocritical because they tell us this all the time, but then they're taking like a mature forest and turning it into a neighborhood, which is not adhering to their principles.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that this was an old growth forest, so it wasn't just, so it was, especially important. And what the developers were planning to do was build lakeside mansions. There's like a bay near there. So they weren't even planning to build something to help, the people, near there. Yeah, so that was another reason we felt more like, this is wrong. This is goes against all the things that we as Girl Scouts have been learning. So that was another motivation for us to continue pushing back to the Girl Scout leadership to protect the forest and sell it to the Maryland Park and Planning Commission instead of the developers, because this way Girl Scouts would still get money and the forest would be protected. That was what we were advocating for. So yeah, for a year, like all of last year, we just kept emailing Girl Scouts back and forth, asking for updates on the sale, had they considered selling it to the Park and Planning Commission instead. And then closer to the end of the year, we decided to arrange an in-person meeting with Girl Scouts. We got the suggestion from the Sierra Club, and we decided to do it. So we as a troop, most of the girls as a troop, we had an in-person meeting with at the Girl Scout headquarters in DC, and we met with the former CEO, a member of the board, and we kind of just talked about everything that we had been emailing about, all the Girl Scout values, why we felt this was wrong. We've been to Camp Owasco, we've seen the forest there. It's a really great area. Selling it to developers goes against all the values. And prior to that, we all did a lot of research using like the internet and public records about Girl Scout finances and stuff. And for most of us, it was like our first time like talking to someone higher up and like voicing our concerns. So we did a lot of like prep before that. Mariah, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it was a lot of work and like really hard to convince the CEO's mind to like ch change the CEO's mind to not sell it to the developers. So we all were unsure of how to approach the CEO when we first met her, and it was just like a lot of new things we'd never done before.
I have a question. This is DO here. I'm wondering if you finally did get support from Girl Scouts of America, and also how much support did you get from Sierra Club?
Girl Scouts of America, not, we didn't really talk to them or have any connection with them, at least as a troop. Like, we didn't really talk to them. But Sierra Club, it was, I originally, like, right after I saw their petition, I went to one of their online meetings and I spoke with them. After that, we didn't have much connection, but like, I originally spoke to them about the issue because they were how I first found out about it. We did, after that, however, we got in touch with someone from the Chesapeake Conservancy, and they were actually aware of this issue as well. Some people from that organization were actually talking with Girl Scouts already about, you know, selling it to the Parks Commission instead. So they kind of kept us looped in as much as they could about the sale. And, like, you know, I would update them. I would email them every now and then asking for updates. They also gave some recommendations, like what to do, you know, maybe there's a specific time when we should ask Girl Scouts when we could get more information. And it was around then we started talking to the media a little bit more. Last year, we did 2 interviews with the Washington Post and with the local version of the Washington Post, and one with the Bay Journal, which is like an environmental online newspaper. You know, like, Chesapeake Conservancy kind of told us, like, you know, you should talk to the media now while we're still waiting, or, like, you know, don't do it right before any kind of big decision time, so that Girl Scouts isn't, you know, inclined to go one way. We kind of wanted to, like, make sure we weren't saying anything that, like, tipped them one way. So yeah, we did that. And then around November or December of last year, the sale to the Parks Commission became finalized. It was, like, passed. And that's when we went, me, Sienna, Mariah, we went to Prince George County and we met with the county executive, Angela Alsobrooks. And she had been behind the scenes helping push the sale toward the Parks Commission. So we met with her. And throughout this whole process, like, girls from the troop, they joined whenever they could talking about this. And then, of course, one of the big parts was I started a petition right after I found out this was happening. And throughout this whole process, we were all sharing the petition with our friends and family and doing the media interviews, got the petition a lot more support. We eventually got over 3,500 signatures on the petition. It was on change.org. And every time someone signs it, that sent a message to Girl Scout leadership. So it was, like, constantly, like, a reminder for them, I guess. And everyone kind of, like, participated when they could. And in the end, it worked. Yeah.
I just wanted to say, from the Chesapeake Conservancy, I think it was Joel Dunn, right, Nathra?
Yeah, the CEO.
Yeah. Yeah, him and the Chesapeake Conservancy, like, definitely did a lot of behind the scenes and, like, negotiating with money and different things. So that really helped.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, they did a lot of the behind the scenes. There, people were talking to the Girl Scout Council, and they were one of the reasons we were able to stay looped in about the sale, because we weren't really getting much from Girl Scouts. Yeah, and definitely, you know, doing the petition, we got strength in numbers. A lot of people reached out saying, you know, my daughter's in Girl Scouts, or I was a Girl Scout, or, like, I live near the forest. And, you know, they were, like, expressing their concerns. They were like, I didn't even know this was happening. Like, Girl Scouts didn't post about this anywhere or say anything. And we even got some people who were, like, longtime donors to Girl Scouts who emailed me saying, you know, if Girl Scouts sells this forest to developers, I'm not going to donate to them anymore. So, like, we had a lot of people who weren't aware of this. And then when they were aware, they were definitely in support. They went ahead and reached out to Girl Scouts on their own saying, you know, I'm a donor, or, like, I'm a parent, and I didn't hear about this. And I'm sure that definitely helped. We got more reach that way.
I'm interested to know what the difference is between the Girl Scout organization you met with and the Girl Scouts of America. You said that Girl Scouts of America wasn't really involved.
Yeah, so Girl Scouts of America is, you know, for all of America. Each, I wouldn't say state, but there are different regions. So we are part of Girl Scouts Nation's capital, which is, like, D.C., parts of Virginia, I think Virginia and Maryland. So that's just, like, this area.
Yeah, and a little bit of West Virginia. But yeah, go ahead.
No, that's good. Yeah, so that this area, this region is the Girl Scouts of Nation's capital. So they were the ones, like, the developers originally donated the forest to them, and they were the ones who were, like, who held the bid for the forest. So they kind of did this separately from Girl Scouts of USA. So we didn't really talk to the USA. This was more with our council. They're our council. So we met with the CEO of Girl Scouts Nation's Capital Council. So, like, the CEO of the Girl Scout governing body for this region.
Thank you for that clarification. It's great. You guys are amazing.
So this is Glenn, and listening to what you're talking about, I'm an old person, and I have been an environmental activist for quite a few years, and everything that you're talking about to me sounds like a campaign, what is typically called a campaign, which is designed to pressure the key decision makers. So you identify who the decision maker is or decision makers are, and then you develop strategies to pressure them to make a better decision or change their mind or whatever. And I wonder, how did you organize, and did you have meetings where you developed the strategy that you were going to use? You know, these are all things that we're not taught this. I was never taught this kind of stuff in school, in high school or elementary school. And it's amazing that as young people, you did all of this stuff that is usually done by these professional groups like the Sierra Club or, the Conservancy. And so can you explain a little bit, how did you have meetings? Did you map out your campaign? Did you figure out your media strategy and your talking points and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I think we could call this a campaign. I mean, we definitely felt like this was something that we could do because it was very specific. Like, it was a specific forest, a specific issue. There were specific people who had the power to change it. And we felt like this was one of these rare scenarios where there is like a compromise that works. Selling it to the Parks Commission still gave Girl Scouts funding while protecting the forest. So we felt like this was something that could be attainable. We didn't have a campaign strategy or anything like that, because most of the time it was just emailing Girl Scouts back and forth, or emailing Chesapeake Conservancy back and forth. And then I think we would reserve some time in our Girl Scout meetings, and we would like say, this is the information we've gotten so far. This is our next steps. We're going to be talking to these people, or like, this is an opportunity, or the petition has this many signatures, so this is what's next. We'd kind of just like talk about it. Definitely before the meeting with the CEO last January and before the meetings with the Washington Post and stuff, we had met on Zoom. We made talking points. We decided, what would be good to say, what might convince Girl Scouts, what is the message, especially with the media. Like, this is the first time any of us has spoken to the press in any way. What message do we want to get across in this article or in this project? What is the main thing that we want to say? But yeah, I would say in terms of like strategies and stuff, that was what we did. We definitely got a lot of help from our troop leader, my mom. So yeah, we got support in that way. But in terms of strategy, that is probably what we did.
This is Dio again. This is an amazing story. So at what point did you find out that you succeeded?
It was through the Chesapeake Conservancy. They had been telling us towards the late summer, we're talking about it, this is looking good. It will probably be sold to the Parks Commission, but I think there was a resolution or something that went through in the Prince George County Board of Public Planning Commissions or something like that. There was a resolution at a meeting, and like the governor of Maryland, he introduced the bill, and then they all passed it. There was like a recording. I think that was sometime late October or November. And then they finally like had a written agreement, and then that was when it had passed. And right after, Girl Scouts did send a post on their website saying, we sold it to the Parks Commission, and then now they're using the funding for some outdoor programs and things like that. So that was when we knew that it was kind of like done, like they had sold it to the Parks Commission and it was saved.
So I'm not trying to be ageist here. I'll just say that my co-host and I are real old white guys, and there is a contrast here in our discussion because you are young women, and there are so many institutional barriers to people having a voice, especially young people and especially women in our society. And I think the really amazing part of this is that you broke those barriers and you found your personal strength to break through that and to question the powers that be, to challenge them. And I think that that's kind of the inspiration for me, is that if you were afraid or if you just didn't know better. I don't know what to say. If you just were able to overcome that, your fears, and stand up to authority in a good way, you know, like John Lewis would say, to cause good trouble. And I think that that is what many of our listeners need to hear from people, because the young people have the most at stake in the future, because us old guys, we're going to die pretty soon. But the young people have their entire lives in front of them. And what kind of a world are we leaving? We're leaving behind, obviously, a lot of problems. And it is, we're leaving it to you. And I don't want to put all this pressure on young people, but I think it's really critical. And I've said this many times on the show that I think young people should be able to vote, because they have the most at stake in the future. And because you're too young to vote, obviously. And remember, there was a time when women could not vote as well. But because you can't vote, this was your way of voting for the future. And I think, at least that's the way I see it. And I think that that takes a tremendous amount of courage to do that.
Yeah. Relating to this, there was a specific thing that Girl Scout had said. I don't know, Sienna, if you want to talk about it, about how they were considering selling to developers, like how this would impact their future.
Yeah, this is a big thing for us. So they were like, oh, well, if we sell it to developers, you know, they were going to get, at the original deal with all the strings attached, about 4 times as much, but that lessened over time. But anyways, they were like, you know, we really need that money so that we can sustain Girl Scouts for the next 100 years. But then our argument kind of was like, is that type of Girl Scouts worth sustaining? Because in my opinion, it's not. Like, if you're going to be a Girl Scout who takes money over values, that's not a Girl Scouts worth sustaining.
Yeah, so I think like throughout this, we were like, Girl Scouts' reasoning was, oh, we want to sustain for the future. And we were thinking about this in the larger scheme of like, well, right now, our future is kind of like, we're not thinking about the next 100 years. We're thinking about the next 5 years, the next 25 years, when, you know, carbon budget and carbon emissions and like bigger picture. We were also thinking about that. So yeah, our argument was like, is sustaining this Girl Scouts, if they're just going to go back on the rails, is it worth it? In the end, you know, they did sell it to the Parks Commission, and they are using that funding for an outdoors program. So it did happen. We may never know the reasoning, but it did happen. But definitely, like, in terms of speaking up and young people, like, separate from this, I do advocacy for like climate change in the school curriculum and solar on schools. And we advocate for bigger bills on the state and federal level. So like, I was learning as I went, you know, like, okay, how do you campaign? How do you advocate? And for all of us, this was kind of new, like talking to higher up people and like communicating with them. And we definitely got advice from like our parents and our troop leader about that, because there were a lot of things that we didn't know about how you communicate that way. But yeah, definitely young people have the most at stake here. And we also don't have that much. Like, we can't vote, we can't, you know, I guess, drive to protest or whatever. Like, we have school, like, we have other things that we need to do as we grow up. But at the same time, we have to keep in the back of our mind that, you know, like, the world is heating up and, like, our future might not be as stable as we want it to be. So that is something that, like, we're all kind of learning and thinking about as we do this. And that kind of maybe took away from the fear of like talking to people and stuff.
Beautiful. It's Theo again. I just looked up the Girl Scout law, and in there it says, quote, use resources wisely and make the world a better place.
Yeah, that was one of the things I think, like Sienna said, that they have all these values. They have, it's part of their pledge. They have a tree badge, like a tree planting badge. And of course the Leave No Trace. Selling it to developers would have gone against all of that. And it just didn't make sense to be like, oh, we're part of Girl Scouts, we say all these things, but at the same time, we sell the forest when it's convenient for us.
So I want to ask, and I'm joking a little bit, but how many new badges did you earn during this process? Because it sounds like you could have earned a badge for activism, for organizing, for many, many badges. And I think what I'm imagining is that what you really learned is a life-changing lesson. You know, that your experience will, I think, will probably influence the rest of your lives because you succeeded in something that was probably felt like a lost cause at some point, but you changed the world. And that could be a life-changing experience that you will take with you for the rest of your lives. And I think that's probably a badge that they don't give in the Girl Scouts, but you certainly earned that badge. And I'll say you earned our admiration, and you certainly earned the biggest inspiration badge that we have ever given to anyone on this show over the past 20 years almost that we've been doing this radio show.
Really funny that you mentioned the badges, because I believe that the only badge that we earned is Meet the CEO badge.
oh my gosh, yes, that was a badge.
That was so funny.
Yeah.
At the end of the meeting, she was handing them out.
Yeah, that was definitely, that was something. Yeah. Other than that, we didn't earn badges for this. I think we didn't really look into that, but we do have something called a Silver Award, which is like, you have to complete some like project that like a long-term project. So not just like volunteering somewhere, it has to, you know, make an impact that stays. So like I use this as my silver award because, you know, like the forest is staying, it's there. So, but I was surprised that Girl Scouts took it because, you know, part of it was like we were advocating with girl, like we were, you know, pressing Girl Scouts, but at the same time they took it. So, you know, it did work out. Another thing, like we didn't have a badge or we didn't have anything, but we felt like if no one else was going to do anything or say anything, like we might as well, we've got nothing to lose. So we did it. And I think that's something that young people should know, like that you don't lose anything by speaking up or doing this. And like you said, it's an experience. We learned a lot about professional communication, how to talk to people outside of just our friends and our family, which is right now our biggest exposure, like our friends and our family. So how to talk to more people and convince them of some bigger issue. So yeah, I don't know, what I've tried getting kids to do some advocacy at school. There's nothing to lose and it's for our future. No one else is gonna stand up and do something, then we might as well try.
Right. Well, at the very least, you should have an advocacy badge. But I think after I get off this interview, I'm gonna contact the Girl Scouts about creating a badge for you guys.
I want to end this by saying that I can imagine that you did get a lot of support from parents, from friends, teachers, maybe, and maybe the organizations that you were involved in. But I think it sounds like you supported each other very much and that you now have a place that you are part of, that you helped to save. And that you can always, I think you should be able to, now that it's a park, you can always go there and be in your place, be in the place that you are part of because you helped to save it. And I think that's a lifelong prize that you have won. And not only for yourselves, but for everyone else who is able to go to that place in the future. And maybe they don't realize the important work that you did, but they will be able to enjoy that into the future. Especially, it sounds like it's a mature forest, an old growth forest, and you'll be able to see that continue to grow and become a, you know, maybe an island of old growth in that area that will provide a lot of positive biodiversity attributes to that entire region. And I think that that's something that you have accomplished with your hard work and your overcoming your fear. And like you said, you had nothing to lose, but it turned out that you really had everything to gain in this. So I want to thank you so much. And I know that you weren't the only ones, but that sounds like you were the core of this effort. And just an amazing story and very inspirational. And, you know, I've been a forest protector for many, many years, and I am inspired by what you have done.
Yes.
So thank you so much.
Really.
Thank you for speaking to us.
Is there anything else you want to say that you haven't said?
I think I've said everything I want to say, just, you know, for if any young person is listening, like, I think all it takes is you reaching out. I think young people have a lot more power than they think, even if we can't vote or do anything. So it never hurts to try. CNN Mariah.
Oh, yeah. I would like to say that anyone or everyone can make a change if they try.
There it is.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add, like, it's kind of all about determination. Like, if there's a cause you're involved in, go for it and just don't give up. Because, like, at first, you know, Nathra just got form letters and people who really were not very high up in it and just, like, really bad responses. And right. If she had stopped within, like, the first few, we wouldn't have gotten where we are. So just keep going and keep pushing because you know what you're doing is right.
Yeah, just one more note I wanted to add. I feel like as much power as young people have, older generations and people in power, whatever authority, you know, whatever governing office, whatever they also have a lot of power to change and maybe a lot more connections and resources. So I think, like Mariah said, anyone can make a change, but I feel like some people, you know, if you have the resources and authority, people should, you know, do their best to do what they can to do what's right. So
to add to Nathra, the only failure is not trying.
There you go.
All right. Again, thanks so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
For everything, you know, everything that you did, just amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we are back and back and totally inspired. I can't believe these kids. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. What an amazing life experience. And, you know, really, again, what an inspiration that the example, the model that they have shown all of their peers, you know, all of the other young folks, and they have taught a lesson to a lot of old people as well, or mature people, that we really need to do the right thing. And they really scored big time.
Yeah.
So, and amazing.
There is, yeah. And there is a Girl Scout tree badge. I looked it up and they didn't know about it. So I turned them on to it. They all definitely deserve more than a tree badge, but that's a start. All right. Shall we move on to the bus stop billboard?
Yep.
Could we start at Saturday, April 20th, all day? Unless it rains, which will be the following day. The Solar Rollers Earth Day River Ride I spoke about earlier. Go to the blog, click on the link to read all about it and all the stops they'll be making.
All right. And also on Saturday, April 20th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., there'll be a gathering at the Unitarian Society of Northampton and the surrounding areas for Earth Day Arts and Climate Fair. This is being organized by XR Western Mass. And guess what? The Enviro Show will be there as well.
That's right.
It's being sponsored by us and XR and the Western Mass Rights of Nature, Trees as a Public Good Network, and others. And so go to the blog, click on the link for a listing of those events, but hopefully we'll see you there.
Yeah, for sure. And there's a parade involved and some all kinds of arts. And then, same day, if you happen to be out in Boston on Saturday, April 20th at 2 p.m., the Boston Red Rebel chapter will be participating in the Red Rebel International Day of Action. They're going to invite you to meet at the Park Street MBTA at 2 p.m. Go to the blog, click on the link for that one.
Then the next day, Sunday, April 21st, from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., this is an online event, the Trees as a Public Good Network, which is part of Our Revolution Massachusetts and its allies, will be hosting a forum to talk about the importance of protecting trees during development. And even green development doesn't necessarily mean protecting trees and maintaining wild areas and wild forests. So go to the blog, click on the link to register for that and to get the Zoom link, and we'll see you there.
And then Monday, April 22nd, the actual Earth Day, at 4 p.m. if you're in Boston, XR Boston's Rebels and others throw a party in honor of our planet in downtown Boston. Go to the blog, click on the link for info on that.
And Thursday, April 25th at 6 p.m., the Amherst Zoning Board of Appeals will be meeting to partly discuss deforestation for solar, Pure Sky Shutesbury Road Project. Pure Sky is a company name. It's like a euphemism for a company that wants to chop down the forest and put in industrial scale solar panels. That hearing will be online. You can go to the blog for more info about that.
And then on Monday, April 29th, noon to 4 p.m., the People's Science Fair at the UMass Amherst Fine Arts Plaza is organized by Western Mass Science for the People, and they'll showcase diverse efforts by Western Mass residents to harness STEM for social, economic, and racial and environmental climate and cultural justice. Participants will include campus-based researchers with justice-oriented projects. Go to the blog, click on the link for that.
And then on Tuesday, April 30th, all day, there'll be an annual lobby day at the state capitol, at the state house. And this is an opportunity to participate in meetings with your legislators to discuss animal protection. If you want to register for that, go to the blog. There's a registration link, but registration for that will close on April 22nd.
All right. That's all for the moment, but like we always say, we update the BusUp billboard almost daily, so keep your eye out for that. So everyone, have a most excellent Earth Days, and we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah, and remember.
Remember what?
To listen, you know.
To who, Glenn?
Mother Earth.
Oh, that's right. Happy Earth Day, everyone. It's Dio saying adios.
Yeah, this is Glenn Ayer saying stay active, folks. Get involved and make a difference.
I am Mother Earth, and I approve of this message.